the bill before us today is Senate Bill 752 with a proposed committee substitute. We had a hearing last Thursday or Friday on this, and it was a preliminary hearing, and at that time we did ask Mr. Tom Luff, Division of Banking, to give us an overview of the proposed committee substitute, and then fortunately they carried it over for another day because we have a Honorable Senator Pat Rohde to give us a better insight on it. Senator Rohde?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your time, and I won't take a great deal of it. I'll just comment on the interstate banking aspect of your committee substitute. In my opinion, interstate banking is very much in the public interest, and this legislature ought to pass it. If we have interstate banking in the state of Alaska, we're going to find several things. First of all, there'll be greater capital available to the citizens of Alaska and to Alaskan businesses. Secondly, you'll find greater competition among financial institutions. Alaskan financial institutions have been criticized in the past as being very tightly knit. If that criticism is true, I'm not sure it is. It certainly would not be true when you have out-of-state lenders all competing in Alaska for business. And with the energy business we're having, there is going to be that competition, and it's going to spill over in consumer areas, because any institution will seek to maximize its position in the marketplace by providing consumer loans in addition to any other kind of loans that they have. You'll see a greater variety of services offered. Large institutions with those available services now will provide them to Alaskans, and probably at as low a cost as they are being provided now. Also, the competition and the use of those electronic services will probably slow any kind of rise in service costs for checking accounts, savings, trusts, money transfer, all the other items that are charged on a basis to the customer. And again, the increased competition will further keep those items at a very low level. I think on the whole, there's a very strong public interest in seeing interstate banking in Alaska. On a philosophical level, of course, what we're doing is providing for a more open market. And that's good for us, because Alaska is in a very enviable position economically now. We're going to see people coming to our marketplace with their money, which is exactly what we want. The only criticism that has been leveled, and I'd like to dispel that, is that some deposits would leave Alaska. The fact of the matter is, that's not going to happen. We have a very small deposit base here, approximately 1.2 billion in private. Those monies that would go outside are already going outside now in the form of various certificates of deposit with private and governmental financial agencies. The deposit base in Alaska is very fragmented, and for some of the larger financial institutions to come here just for that would be ridiculous. It wouldn't make any business sense. That's one that has been thrown up by opponents, and in fact, I think it's one of the few that's been thrown up by opponents, and I think it just doesn't hold water, anybody that's familiar with business at all. We've traditionally had a capital shortage in Alaska. I think interstate banking will provide not only Alaskan businesses, but the Alaska public with a far greater source and a variety of sources of capital. When you have some of the major lenders and financial institutions in the United States actively competing in Alaska, and there's good reason for them to come here. They'll be servicing their other clients, ARCO, Sohio, Exxon, as well as the Seattle banks, which now provide over several hundred million for the fishing industry. All of this bodes well for the Alaskan consumer if we really believe that the competition is good in the marketplace. And I think it is. And I think we'll be the beneficiaries.
I'd
be happy to answer any questions that members of the committee might have. I don't want to take up a great deal of your time. I appreciate the opportunity to come over and testify.
Thank you, Senator Rohde. Is there any questions?
Just one. Have you looked over the committee substitute?
Yes, I have, in a very brief fashion. And I think your question is well taken, because the language in the bill should be drafted very carefully. What we're doing is amending or rather following the Douglas Amendment to the Bank Company Holding Act, and it's important that the language be very, very skillfully drawn. And I know that the committee chairman has used what is regarded as the best language in this area, and I was just going over it with Mr. Berry before the committee meeting started, and just would ask you to work with Mr. Jim Kelly of my staff to ensure that the language is absolutely perfect, because if it isn't, we don't comply with federal law, or there's the possibility of a lawsuit, and given the considerable stakes in this area, I think it's important to do a very workmanlike job, and I would make available any expertise that my office might have to you.
Thank you.
And to the committee.
Thanks, Senator. Any other questions? Senator, I have a couple concerns that were brought up. Some people said over the weekend when I was talking to different bankers and all that part of the problem may be, and I really haven't seen if we have a solution to that problem, that some national banks may have a priority of getting in before there's a fair knowledge from all national banks, whatever that may mean, Wall Street market, and getting in at a fair opportunity. Remind me of the Boomer Sooner days of Oklahoma, who gets there first. Do we have a provision here as to say an X date? Is there a possibility that some who don't know about this change in Alaska may be given a grace period in order to bid with local bank?
Anybody that that is interested in acquiring an Alaskan bank could do so, providing the bank has been in existence for a certain number of years. There is nothing that would regulate the negotiations or regulate the entry of other banks into the Alaska market. I think it'd be wrong to do that. I think we want an open free market where all people come into Alaska and work with Alaskan financial institutions. I think Alaskans will get the best deal that way, and because you'll find those people that are willing to provide the most services and be the most aggressive in the marketplace will ultimately succeed. And that's really what I'd like to see.
We would have to be then for the seller to wait for the best opportunities.
Yes, I presume it would be handled in the manner that any other business matter is normally handled, but between the private parties. And each institution in Alaska is in a different position. Each institution outside of Alaska is in a different position, and for that reason, it's hard to determine exactly what those relationships should be. And I, for one, don't think we ought to put those kind of restrictions on financial institutions. In fact, we're seeing now at the national level with the passage of basically the Banking Reform Act in 1980, a lessening of some of the traditional restraints that just don't work in a 20th century economy. And that's one reason I suppose I should mention, we will have interstate banking whether we do it or the federal government does it. And I, quite frankly, think that we ought to do it rather than the federal government. Banking has been deregulated to a considerable extent over what it was previously. If we tried to regulate the relationship between in-state banks and out-of-state banks in terms of any kind of purchase or purchase option or whatever arrangement, I think it would be an improper intrusion into the private market.
So the one other
we in areas of fair credit reporting and all the other regulations in the public interest, that's where we ought to be. And we have to worry about public concerns and not private concerns.
Looking at public concerns, sometimes in Alaska we become very self-centered. So what I'm getting to is what Alaskanizing, and some of the opposition has already been heard about, we have our permanent funds, we have our special loans, and so on and so forth. Is this going to cause great harm, or how would the public perceive it? One person said, well, what you're really doing is getting that absentee land ownership, absentee control of business, absentee farming, whatever.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the case. You could make the same case for all for the oil industry in Alaska, which has brought us a great deal of economic well-being. And the Exxon is all owned by stockholders outside this
BP.
And BP. That's in fact BP is even a Crown corporation for all practical purposes. Right. So I guess to paraphrase a fellow I used to work construction with, who said that he didn't really care who brought money to Alaska as long as they brought it here. And I think that you will find, like major oil companies, continuing number of entities in a variety of businesses come to Alaska that are national corporations. But that's good for us, and it's inevitable because we are better situated today than perhaps any other state in the Union, and it's natural that we'll attract a whole host of business, whether it's Kmart or whether it's Denny's or any of the other retail chains.
Is there some way we can tax them to death so they won't come?
I don't know that you'll necessarily want to do that. Actually, bank taxes are already up there.
I'm being facetious. Thank you. Is there any other questions for Senator Lody? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman.
The next gentleman I'd like to have give us an overview is Mr. Tom Lust. The other day when we had the proposed amendment, we asked Mr. Lust to look into it and give us an overview from his point of view.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Lust. I'm the Chief Bank Examiner for the Division of Banking and Securities. I just got this bill since we came over. But basically what it is Senate Bill 752, and you attached a rider to it, which is basically Senate Bill 756, and we gave an opinion before on both of these bills that we did not oppose, and your same basic language is in here, so there's no problem as far as the Division of Banking is concerned.
From your point of view, so you don't see any problem in the title being used?
No, in fact, I consulted our Attorney General, and she said that this would have to be the way it was titled, that all would be necessary is to change the title, and then you didn't violate the single purpose provisions in the rule. And this, by the way, was changed at my suggestion.
Okay, great. Jeff, the title we have here is what Mr. Lutz is saying with the Attorney General.
That's correct. It's okay. An act relating to financial institutions rather than savings and loans.
Okay. Right. Any other questions, Mr. Lutz? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Bob Lowell.
I listed myself as a person to testify, and I wasn't certain whether there would be anything that I could add to what has already been said. I think Senator Brody covered the points very well that have been raised. I'm the chairman of People's Bank, originally founded by the name. At the time that bank was chartered, I think the state was interested in seeing that bank come into Anchorage to create more competition. We're a small bank. We're 50 million, 51 million in assets, about 4.5 million in capital. And we, of course, are competing with much larger financial institutions. I think two of the largest financial institutions really are the strongest competition that you have. But there aren't very many large banks, you know, available in the state that are giving them the type of competition that interstate banking is going to bring. We feel that with interstate banking, for example, with the proposal that we made with Rainier Bank, which has been much discussed, and looking at it from our bank standpoint, the infusion of capital that they would bring would enable our bank to branch much more rapidly in the areas that we feel we should go in order to be competitive. So what our constraint is from a capital standpoint is that our growth is pretty much limited to how fast we can generate through internal earnings support of a branch system. We have, at present time, we have a main office at AP&G, we have one branch at University Center, and we have one branch on Diamond Boulevard. There are two other areas this year that we'd like very much to go to, but I constantly have to watch how fast we can go because we're limited by our capital. We have $4.5 million in capital. We have to maintain a ratio. Fair capital ratio to deposits, presently we're at about 8.1, which is good. But we add in a couple of branches, and we bring a little bit of growth, and right away we're going to be straining at our capital limitations. So the ability of the small banks to grow, and I think it is necessary to grow to provide real competition, is limited by their capital. So the interstate banking system does bring in that type of capital. It'll bring in the type of capital that will permit particularly in the instance of the smaller banks, to grow more rapidly, to provide more competition, and it will bring down and lessen the cost of people that are using banking services, i.e. Loan costs, to make more competitive interest rates. It also brings into the banking area some degrees of sophistication and expertise that we as a small bank, and in fact many of the larger banks here today, don't provide. It's a very rapidly changing area. We call upon our correspondent banks right now for much of the expertise that we need in the areas of our trust investment portfolio, in putting together certain types of loans. We work very closely with Seattle banks now. Most of our large loans, and I think that's true for most banks, will participate with the outside institutions. And I've heard the argument raised by people who object to interstate banking. They say, well, these banks will come in to drain off the deposits. Well, in the 20 years or 22 years that I've been associated with People's Bank since its founding, that has not been the case. They come up here looking for a market for loans. And they're bringing in capital, not taking it out. And in my view, from the standpoint of the consumers in Alaska, the addition of some additional strong competition is going to benefit the consumer. Someone reminded me of the early days in Anchorage in the 50s. I mean, we didn't have any large grocery chain operations then. The cars that were on 13th were probably as large as there was. But in 1960, Safeway stores came in, and boy, what a change. We had much better prices, we had much better products available, and it sharpened the competition. I think the local businesses then really did a much better job because of the competition. And I think the same is true today in banking, with the strengthening of our banking system by permitting interstate banking, and that's what will happen. We'll have a number of strong financial institutions buying for the consumer's business, and from my viewpoint, I don't see how that can help the consumers. From the individual bank standpoint, from our bank standpoint, the ability to draw upon the resources of bringing your bank certainly is going to help our bank in its growth. I think one other point that's been brought up is are we going to lose control of our local financial institutions? Our institution is a pretty broadly held bank for a small bank. We have 385 shareholders. I don't think we have more than five that are outside. Most of the people that have moved out of Anchorage, and our stock is pretty well held throughout the Anchorage area. And those same shareholders have been shareholders since the bank started, by and large, since 1960. From their standpoint, I feel that we don't really have an established market in stock. If I want to go out and raise that capital, which I'll have to do to expand, I'm going to undercut the value of their stock in some instances because we don't have a ready market up here for bank stocks. When you get tied in with a national banking system, you do. On the other hand, from the standpoint of local control, I know in the Rainier case, I believe the president of Rainier spoke to the legislature last year that their intent is to continue to operate People's Bank as a separate subsidiary, and I believe that that's what is going to happen. We have an experienced group of loan officers, experienced bank officers. It would be real foolish for an institution to come from the outside and throw that away. I think that's part of what they want. They want the local expertise that's there. We have a board of directors of 12 people. Many of them have been businessmen that have been in business in the state for 20 years or more. And I think that any outside bank coming in and dealing with the smaller financial institutions certainly aren't going to be inclined to do away with these local contacts. The changes that would occur, for example, in our instance, and that's something I can really speak to, I think we're very, very small so far as the makeup of the officers and the directors of the bank. But I think that the real change that will come is that we'll have available all the financial muscle of Rainier Bank System that will be available in Alaska. And we'll improve our services and improve our ability to serve the customers. And I feel that we're going to be in a much better position to provide competition in the bank. anyone have any questions, if we have some.
Thank you, Mr. Gladstone. Any questions?
No.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. Next gentleman will be Mr. Jim Hackett.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jim Hackett. I represent the Alaska Bankers Association. I'm the chairman of their Legislative Affairs Committee. I would like to just reiterate a few of the comments that were made previously and give you the outline of the Bankers Association on this bill. The Bankers Association fully supports the idea of interstate banking. In some ways, if you wish to define interstate banking as the taking of deposits as well as the making of loans, interstate banking already exists. Merrill Lynch has opened up its CMA accounts, takes deposits throughout the state, and is owned by an outside organization. And a number of other quasi-financial institutions do loan business. Rainier, as a correspondent, as a direct lender, already operates in the state as a lender. Technically, the issue of interstate banking really relates to the ownership of existing franchises within the state by an out-of-state holding company. And as I mentioned in the last Thursday, the issue is in the Douglas Amendment of the One Bank Holding Company Act, which specifically allows the state to make a law allowing an outside holding company to buy an existing franchise. The Bankers Association supports such a change, and we support it for a number of reasons, and most of them have already been stated. We believe that it will substantially open competition in the state by giving all or most of the organizations a better chance to compete both for size of individual loan as well as service. It allows also, and I think this is a very important point, which Mr. Lowe mentioned a little earlier, it allows the continued existence of the identity of a franchise within the state. Rather than having interstate banking come about by outside banks purely putting branches in the state where there is no existing franchise entity, board of directors, president, this particular amendment and the Douglas change allows the existing organizational structure and the existing officers and image of Alaska to continue, and we feel from the Bankers Association that's a very important aspect. It does allow for the infusion of additional capital and additional deposits. There has been some comment that I've heard relative to this bill, which was brought up before, that it would take deposits out of the state. I worked for Rainier Bank prior to coming up as a correspondent banker, and I know for certain that historically deposits and loans have been brought into the state rather than out of the state. Most correspondent bankers lent extensively into the state participating with local banks because there was insufficient capital, so I would argue the other way, that it would allow additional capital to be brought in. We do believe that there would be greater customer services, both from the quality of data processing, which outside large institutions are able to generate. There would be specialty services. Mr. Lowe mentioned trust services a little earlier. A greater deal of competition in the international banking area would be potentially possible. And we would also have something which the state in general has difficulty generating, and that is if we had outside owners, especially large holding companies, the interests and the knowledge of Alaska would substantially increase. And we feel that that's an important element for what we see as the growth of Alaska. In conclusion, the Bankers Association supports interstate banking. We feel that to a great extent interstate banking is already with us. We support this particular change to allow the cross-state ownership of franchises. We do support a wide open approach to banking in Alaska because we feel Alaska is a growing, dynamic state that needs few constraints, as few as possible, on its financial areas in order to address the changes the state will need and the growth the state will need. I would like to comment with Mr. Chairman a little earlier. You made a question about the knowledge of outside organizations as to this potential change, and I can make the comment that the potential change in Alaska relative to interstate banking has been fairly widely publicized in the American Banker, which is the Bankers Association newspaper that goes to most of the commercial banks within the U.S. I'd be happy to answer any questions if I can.
Any questions?
Just one,
Mr. Randolph.
Kind of question to put things in perspective.
from the consumer's point of view, from the individual assets point of view, what are the negatives?
It's difficult for me to see negatives to the extent that you will, if you have existing franchises, if this bill is passed, it keeps the existing organizations together. So as People's Bank and Trust would continue to be an organization within the state, the outside banks that would put money or capital into a People's or into another organization would have within their own outside structures the necessities of keeping that a live and going organization. So the competition for consumer services would increase, I believe, substantially because of the outside pressures. So I think that from the range of customer services as well as attempt to supply both new services and old services in a better way, I think that's a positive aspect. To the extent that you have some transition period, that may be a negative, but we're always in the state of transition, so it's difficult to argue that that may not be there.
None would have been a good one.
Yeah. I can't see it.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
The next gentleman, Mr. Turner, who is the originator of this bill, but he certainly has changed his complex. Mr. Turner? The
thank
last time
much.
We met, sir, we had some questions about your particular bill to begin with, and then there seemed to be a tentative problem with the first section of the proposed substitute, or we should say amendment to that. Has that been resolved to your satisfaction, sir?
Yes, sir. In reviewing the 752 committee substitute, which is now an act relating to financial institutions, and also Mr. Berry added a section 10, which is to repeal ASO 63555B4. There's only one other item I would like to bring up. In section 3, and Mr. Randolph brought this up last Thursday, is that in a stock association, each director shall own individually or jointly with his or her spouse should be in there.
And that's correct. With his or hers, right.
His or her spouse.
Okay, that is correct.
Yes.
You don't have that on the new commission packet. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I'll make one comment and then I will be open to questions. Mr. Randolph brought up about what would this do for the consumer. I feel that competitive competition has always benefited the consumer, and I think it's very good. I draw from my 25 years in California, where we had considerable competition. And I find that if you have four financial institutions on a corner, the people are going to get better service than if they only had one. Because they're able to shop, they're able to check, and either you are going to give the best service or there's only going to be one there again. And this has been my experience, and I'm very strongly for the whole concept of the new bill. And I'm open for questions.
Any questions of Mr. Turner?
I don't have any.
So the major question I have is that the first few provisions that we have here in Section 2 mostly were changed in a lot of shells to may. And could you give us a reason for that? Does that allow you to more flexibility or?
Right, what it had in there, it was shall, and they're now referring to may. Now, mm-hmm. One of the things that was eliminated is shall possess. That was on page 2 when originally in the bill. And Senator Bill Ray felt that our shall possess should not be in there. So that was amended on the Senate floor. But it is to make the stockholder records more confidential. And it's in line with a recent regulation by the Division of Banking for confidentiality also.
Mm-hmm.
Conform to that.
Okay. Any other questions? Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next gentleman, Mr. Gene Erskine. We saw you in a situation last year, didn't we?
Yeah, right. My name is Gene Erskine. I'm president of Unicorp, the holding company that owns United Bank Alaska. I won't try to repeat any of the things that were said, except that Unicorp is owned by 7 Native regional corporations and 1 village corporation. And speaking for the owners of Unicorp, they support the concept of interstate banking because it gives them an opportunity to bring in outside expertise and capital to allow them to grow in the banking community, and that's what they intended. The original idea was to compete with the larger institutions. Speaking for management and having no stock holding in Unicorp or United Bank except for director's shares, management supports the concept of interstate banking because it does give us the opportunity to make an alliance with someone if we so choose to bring in the expertise and the outside services that we so desperately need and people. Alaska is short, as you probably are aware when you go into the bank, short of good quality bankers as we are in a lot of different fields, and we need that opportunity to make allegiances or alliances with outside institutions to bring in the new thinking and the new technology in banking. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much, Professor. Next person, Mr. Arnold Epps.
Espy.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. I'll be the briefest. I'm Arnold Espy, chairman of Alaska Pacific Bancorp. We've had a year to think about this. We really didn't make up our mind on it until about a month ago, but we decided to support interstate banking primarily for one reason. We're convinced it's going to happen at the federal level. In fact, Senator Rohde said he doesn't feel the issue is whether we're going to have interstate banking. It's who's going to do it. Our reading of Washington committee testimony, as well as the report that was done for President Reagan last year, indicates to us that the first move in interstate banking will be some sort of a contiguous state. And it's our fear that Alaska will be declared contiguous to Washington State. And we don't like that narrow playing field. We think that's not in Alaska's best interest. That's to take nothing away from the Rainier Bank representative. That's all I have to say.
Any other
questions?
I do have one.
Not for sale.
I do have one question, if not of you, Mr. Espy. Maybe someone else may, because it was brought to my attention Sunday morning that the state of Maine turned down a similar legislation. And perhaps it would be worthwhile for the committee to know what were the problems or things like that. Does anyone know?
I know it was being considered.
I'll have to
wait. They did approve something last year.
This evidently happened Friday morning. Well, we'll wait to read the Wall Street Journal. Senator Rohde?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the answer.
Just brief, the Senate passed it. The House, it failed in the House, and I can't offer an explanation for why it did. It seemed like it was divided on the issue. It didn't, I'm sure it doesn't have as much benefit to Maine as it does to Alaska. Quite frankly, if we're not there first, we're going to be last.
Yeah.
I think we did it that simple because I agree with Mr. Espy. I'm sure very knowledgeable of necessity on this point that interstate banking is coming, whether we like it or not.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I think last year it came before us at the very end of the session, and we didn't know enough about it. Hadn't heard about it, and we were afraid of it.
Right.
I think that's what happened.
Very nice. Any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think maybe just a little elaboration on Mr. Espy's comment that if the federal government does it, it will be not only will they do it, but they'll set the parameters and the mechanisms by which it happens. It might be something that's very definitely not in our interest. And then follow up on Senator Rohde's comment that I think it is important that if Alaska's going to derive all the benefits we've heard about here today, that we get in the system ahead of the feds making it a universal situation, and Alaska is not that significant when you look at the whole picture, but if we're mm-hmm. there first, I think we have a lot more to derive, more benefits derived from it than otherwise we would, from the way that it all happens. So, but I think it's worth putting those two things in perspective.
Okay, thank you, sir. I have no one else on the list that would like to give testimony, but I certainly don't want to overlook anyone. Does anyone like to give testimony? Nay or yea? Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion by a committee member to accept a committee substitute?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have the committee substitute explain a little bit.
Okay. Jeff, would you like to give us an overview, please? I do notice a couple provisions, and this is probably a typographical errors in most cases, that some of the new wording is not underlined as it should be in the first three sections. And those are minor things in the sense that members in section 2, where we have a long line that says loans and voting rights of under members should not be aligned because that's already current law, but stockholders, savers, and borrowers should be all underlined. Also in the last line on page 1, the word may, the very last word on that corner, right-hand corner, should be underlined. On page 2, where we have or stock, it should be the whole word or stockholder underlined. Otherwise, I don't see any problems.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of general questions, maybe before Jeff starts speaking. Mm-hmm. What's the overall intent of the, you know, what's the overall philosophy behind the committee substitute? As opposed to the Senate bill, what are we talking about? What are we trying to accomplish in general with the substitute, as opposed to the?
Well, gentlemen, maybe the Senator Voda, you're much welcome to come up, sir.
I can answer that question very, very briefly. The first, Mr. Barry, please, I'll just get the end of it. With regard to the savings and loan bill, it puts them on parity with basically federal law. What we want is the level playing field theory to allow a federally chartered and a state chartered, Mr. Turner's Bank is the only state chartered entity in the state, to be on the same level. We don't want either one to have a competitive advantage, and that's essentially what it does. That's the first part of the bill. The second part of the bill essentially allows provides language that will meet the requirements of the Douglas Amendment, the Interstate Bank Company Holding Act, that allows bank holding companies to come into the state to acquire a bank that has been in existence.
We basically have a combination of the two bills in the substitute now.
And the Interstate Bank Bill is essentially, again, a level playing field. It's a very fair, above board approach. It says anybody can come in, anybody can play in the game. And there are no artificial restrictions involved other than any bank that's acquired has to be in existence for a number of years.
Just one other general question, maybe, Mr. Chairman. The people who have been testifying this afternoon, were they speaking of the substitute bill in all cases?
I think everyone has a copy.
Okay, thank you.
Apologize for intruding myself into the House Committee Affairs, but I just wanted to help out where I could.
I'd like expertise wherever we can. You know.
I think that answers my question, Mr. Barry.
Jeff, do you need any?
No, just to point out that Section 10 is an oversight in the drafting. That's why that particular portion, it was just in.
You make it seven.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we. Pass House Committee Substitute Senate Bill.
We have to accept it first.
That we accept Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute Senate Bill 752. Labor and Commerce.
Motion made by Representative Randolph. Any objection? No objections. So carried. Then we'll have motions on the bill.
The first one is to make the motion to underline the proper section that I previously talked about.
You might just handle that.
It's already done there, okay. You want to make your next motion on page 2 to insert or her?
Yeah, I would move it on page 2 and underline the material individually or jointly with his and add or her spouse.
Motion made and that's been done, Randolph. Any question? No questions? So pass. And I guess we should formally make that last motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Section 10 be the wording in Section 10 be deleted and inserted in its place AS 06.30.55B in parentheses 4 in parentheses is repealed and renumber the following section accordingly.
Motion made. No objection. So carried. We have a final motion on the bill. Mr. Randolph, move the bill. Okay, Health Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 752, Labor and Commerce. Motion to pass it. Any objections? No objections. So we got done in 50 minutes.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, thank you very much for taking it up. This
thank you, Pat.
You're going to have to give me Senator Mulcahy's blessing now.